Welcome to the Saturday morning edition of Storytellers here on The Crude Life. We're live at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites in Watford City, North Dakota, in the breakfast bar. Kind of doing a little bit of wind down now with the breakfast. We've closed down breakfast. It's lunchtime here. Probably get a few people grabbing an apple or something like that, but it's nice to have the fruit out all day long here at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites. So today we're joined by John Nagel with Beck Communication, B-E-K, Beck Communication, as well as Pat Bertinoli with the Rough Riders Center. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Fantastic. Great morning.
Fantastic.
Now, I understand you're going to be sitting in here to talk a little bit about the Bismarck Bucks and your experience about bringing them to town, and we'll get to that in just a second, Mr. Patrick Bertinoli. But Mr. John Nagel, let's talk about you first. You got a little cybersecurity background, don't you?
I do. We came back to North Dakota, take care of parents and help them out. They got me where I'm at and had the opportunity to bring to life a CyberNet security business here in the state. It's the only pure play cybersecurity business in the state. That's all we do. And recently, at the beginning of this year, Beck Communications acquired our business. So Beck Communications, Beck Telco, is the only telco in the state that actually has a cybersecurity division.
What is cybersecurity?
So cyber
for the layman out there.
It's really protecting yourself from the digital bad actors out there and things that can happen in the world that you can't see. So anything on the internet to the physical security side, and up here where we are now, physical security in the Bakken and the oil pads is of the utmost importance.
You know, and really, it's just putting a new fence up around your property in a certain way, you know, a better fence, electric fence
up, infrared sensors across the board. Know that people are coming before they ever get there and give you time to respond.
My eyes opened up to the world of the internet even more so when I saw a site called Second Life. And it was essentially a Second Life, and people started doing commerce on Second Life, and they were selling these made up properties for $100,000+ and all these just ridiculousness. And I thought, well, I guess if that's where they're spending their time and energy, it is a secondary economy. And so the whole world of cybersecurity, I imagine we're just still in the infant stages, aren't we?
We are. And you know, we've been living through a pandemic, right? Well, right now we have a digital pandemic going on in cybersecurity, and that's what I call it anyway, in particular when it comes to ransomware. That's the number one thing happening right now. In fact, 2 days ago, the announcement of Accenture had been hit for a $50 million ransom, and the prices are going up exponentially, and we have to figure this one out.
It's amazing, too, and not to get too deep into the woods here with the cybersecurity, but there's two things happening. Number one is the ransom, is the, you know, holding people for blackmail or whatever it might be. Basically, you got some people clicking and clacking, and they can hold a country hostage. And on the same token, with some of the climate activists out there, they can spray paint a pipeline and shut it down for several days, too. So we're talking about a whole new world of cyber terrorism, domestic terrorism. Just those terms now are becoming very parsed and careful when authorities are saying them, because we're skirting fine lines here.
It is, and you mentioned something there. It's the language that's being spoken. Mm-hmm. It's a different terminology, and people need to understand that language to be able to actually act on that language. So the terminology is very different. It is English, right, as we speak today, but it's a whole different language, and we have to help people understand what those terms mean. What does it? What can you do to prevent that cyber incident from happening? And you know, here in North Dakota, we have 15 of the 16 critical infrastructures. As everybody was talking about, you know, President Biden, you know, gave away these secrets. That wasn't it when he told Russia, hey, back off these 16 industries. They've been known for a long time. They're publicly out there, but we just happen to have 15 of the 16 here. And if you throw elections into it and first responders, which are now being added to the critical infrastructure list, we will have all of them but one in our state. So we need to pay attention here in North Dakota.
Did you guys react, or do you got any comment on that cybersecurity scare back in May? Because that should have been a wake-up call if it wasn't already. With the pipelines.
With the pipeline. Yeah. So Colonial was interesting, right? And we've been looking at different areas around pipeline security. But when you talk about pipeline security and critical infrastructure, the thing that I find fascinating, interesting, and a little bit confusing is that it is covered by TSA. not the Department of Homeland Security. And that's intriguing to me. When you think about oil is flowing through a pipeline, right? Why is that in the transportation area? There's not enough teeth to be able to regulate and find and hold people accountable in that space, like NERC and FERC, which is the energy sector, the financial sector, the healthcare sector. There is more regulation, more standard, and more importantly, there are consequences that actually will cost you real dollars. They are not there on the other side there. So that's a big thing I think that needs to change.
Well, it's going to be a changing, I mean, daily, because I remember when I was going to North Dakota State University, they were telling people that, you know, some of the things we're teaching you right now might not be relevant when you graduate. And this was back in Lotus 1-2-3 Excel days. So I can't even imagine where we're at now.
It's a different world. I mean, you have 12-year-olds that are cyber experts. You know, you think about the whole programming, AI, all the disruption, machine mm-hmm. learning. The interesting thing is with the internet and the capabilities to learn on your own, you can think of even the cyberspace as a trade school. Right, you talk about different trades out there. It really can truly be a trade. Do you need a 4-year degree in computer science stuff? It helps, but you don't need it anymore. And you're seeing that from 12-year-olds to 80-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the community service that you do, and that's Bismarck Bucks. I understand it is a business, but at the end of the day, it's one of those businesses that if you come close to making a profit, it's a good year type of a thing, because it's more about the community involvement and really creating some opportunity for some people, continued opportunity for a lot of people too.
It's significant. So Beck Communications owns the Bismarck Bucks.
Okay.
100%. It is the only professional franchise in North Dakota. And it's going to be tough here. We're a small populous state. So, will anybody else come in with a pro franchise? I don't know. But we're very proud. It's the only pro franchise here.
You hear
in
that,
state.
North Dakota State Bison?
Yeah, there you go.
Bismarck They're Bucks. They're about as close as they come to a pro
exactly,
franchise.
Exactly. Right? So they're part of the Indoor Football League. It's the longest running football league in the United States.
Indoor Football League.
Indoor Football League. IFL.
Is that different than arena?
It is. Okay. It's a caliber, a couple calibers above.
Okay.
So there's different rack and stacks there. And, you know, just to give you an idea of the caliber of play, we've had several players already called up to the Canadian and European pro football leagues. So we have a high caliber of play. It's exciting. It's fast moving. It's played on a hockey rink, if you want to think about it, with turf. And the clock runs. It does not stop for anything. So it's fast moving, fast paced on a 50-yard field.
It's like international rules basketball.
Yeah,
it's clock
exactly,
just keeps running.
Exactly.
All right.
That's exactly it.
So how big are the – explain the difference. Everybody's used to, 100 yards, 4 downs, that sort of thing.
You still have four downs, right? It's just half the football field size. Different rules for, you can kick it off and you can actually have a field goal in the kickoff, almost impossible in the pro football league, right? But you get a point for that. So there's a few little different things like that.
That's fun.
There's motion. When you watch the offense, the receivers come running full speed, kind of like the Canadian football league, up to the line. So there's constant movement, constant action. And the most important thing for the Bismarck Bucks is as a family entertainment sport. Mm-hmm. It is made experiential, and it's a destination to go to at the Bismarck Event Center.
And what kind of crowds are you getting, and how is it being received?
This year's been a little bit tough. Our normal season starts in March, and we had it delayed because of COVID this year. The league is 17 teams. There are 11 participating. Some have held off because of regulation and COVID in the particular states they're at. So that's been a little bit of a challenge this year. But overall, not too bad. About 3,000 a game, which is pretty good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. You know,
for a town the size of Bismarck, that's really good.
Well, the only game we had before COVID actually hit and shut us down, we had 4,500 that day.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It is fantastic. So, it's a community game. And when you think about Bismarck and you think about the state of North Dakota, we're not that big, but to have a pro football team is pretty exciting.
This is in the Civic Center?
It is in the Civic Center, in the Event Center in Bismarck.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but for those of you listening out there that come to the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference, it's where you saw Trump.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right there, dead center. We can hold 10,000 people, so come on down, everybody. I'll tell you what, we've been We changed our approach a little bit this year coming out of COVID and to give back. We have been offering several different general admission tickets free to the community. Come out, get out, get outside, experience just life in real time again from how we've been closed up. So the Bismarck Bucks have been giving back quite a bit this year to just to help people out and get out and enjoy life again.
The players, where do you get the players from?
They literally come from around the entire country. You know, some are ex-NFL players trying to get back in. Some are just out of college. Some just love that game and are looking for a shot to get called up. So they come from across the United States, Canada, everywhere. And we do a good job recruiting. We have Rod Miller as our coach. He is a championship coach. He has coached leagues from here to China. And you think about football in China, yeah, there's football in China.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize that.
Basketball,
and
too.
Exactly. And then Heidi Ripplinger is our GM. Up until when an owner passed away, she was the only female general manager in the league at all. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And just a little side note, by the way, I just saw the other day a headline where there's a new Yao Ming in China. He's like bigger than Yao Ming, so he's the second coming or something like that. So.
Well, our guys might not be that big, but our offensive line is 6'7", 350, a couple guys that big, and a lot of speed on the outside. Our receivers, I've been ranked all year in the top of the league, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you got a couple good-sized stakes there, yeah. Pat, you brought the Bucks to town. Why did you do that, and how did the crowd show up? And talk a little about that experience.
Well, so John and I have been working together here probably for a couple of years, and I actually went to their one game in 2020, and it was kind of a discussion with Derek and John, and we were just visiting about the possibility to be able to do something like this in Watford City. So we had the one-and-done game. And then we actually, in Watford City at the Rough Rider Center, invited the entire Beck team, you know, were you with Beck at the time?
I was. We actually brought our GM and CEO, Derek Bulawa. We brought up the coach, Rod Miller, and championship coach. I got to say that because I want a ring when they get one here, and hopefully we'll be in the playoffs and get one this year. And then Heidi Ripplinger, we brought him up, and we came to a chamber event and had the opportunity to speak to the chamber, and we actually found out that Sean Doble was retiring, so we gave him a nice little surprise, and Pat was gracious enough to give the coach a tour, and Derek and our GM, and when we left, all I heard was, wow, impressive. Thought Texas had great stadiums down there in high school. Watford City and the high school team are right up there with them. They're there on par. It's that great of a facility.
And the funny part about that, too, is we actually hosted a meeting with those folks in our community. So we had ConocoPhillips there. We had the city administrator. We had just a number of community leaders. And I'll be honest with you, we were kind of trying to position ourselves to be able to host a training camp in 2022. And so that's what we were kind of working on. And then John calls me on a Sunday night, and he said, we have a misunderstanding. We're not talking 2022. We're talking 2021. He said, you have a week to figure it out.
Yeah, and when I said he has a week, it meant us, and we scrambled, but we did it, and hats off to the Watford City community. It really took a village to bring this to life. You know, everything from the high school and the athletic director there, Brian, to Mike Richards, who was with Sanford. Where in the country, you know, at least in our region, do you have a strength and conditioning coach for the high school team? In the weight room, top notch. They said, we want to replace the equipment there. I'm going, I'll take it all. It's fantastic. But it was a big partnership. We, in short order, we managed to work with New Leaf Hospitality, and it's the Missouri Inn & Suites here where we're at today, and Teddy's as the sponsor for our team to stay. We worked with Harlow's and Stacy over there, and I know you had a CDL young woman driving on there. Most of their drivers are women. It's just an amazing community, mm-hmm. right? And from there, we worked with McKenzie County Healthcare and Sam Perry over there and that group, because you need healthcare. Injuries happen. And I know I'm missing people, but Kurt, the city administrator, the Rough Rider team, it was an amazing journey in 7 days, but we pulled it off.
People don't realize how many behind-the-scenes people really it does take.
It does. And what was interesting, it's the first time in the history of the IFL that there was a training camp outside the home city of a team. and it was all over social media, all over the IFL. The players up here were taking pictures of relaxing in the pool and getting therapeutics to recover, to the great food served here. And everybody was jealous, you know, hey, we're getting a Subway sandwich. Not that Subway isn't good. It's fantastic. But they have a whole buffet in front of them, right? They give them the right nutrition to actually perform at their peak performance and get ready for the season. So it was an unbelievable experience.
Nice chef and everything to boot.
Yep.
So what's in store then for, is there going to be another game?
We hope, you know, we'd love to bring a game up here and you know, expand the footprint of the Bismarck Bucks to all of North Dakota. It's truly North Dakota's pro team, but we are in talks right now and we're finishing up. And Pat, I'll let you tell everybody here what we're working on.
We're working on a 3-year contract with the Bismarck Bucks. And, you know, as I say that, I'm just extremely proud of our community and the nimbleness of our community. And just to be able to work with an organization like Beck, I hope it serves as an example to all of North Dakota that, you know, for us to be able to work with that caliber of an organization and just the community collaboration to do great things and just really support one another, I think is just super key. And, you know, the other thing that I'll just say about Watford City is just the hospitality. All those players came in and I guarantee you that they talked about Watford City for quite some time. And really, Jason, you know, everything that we're doing today on this morning show and stuff like that, I mean, part of this is to recruit people to our community and just seeing how amazing it is. But, you know, for us to be able to work with these guys, you know, has just been fantastic. And we're just super grateful for it. And our community is grateful for it as well.
You know, we talk about sharing in our state, Jason. We really have three different regions of our state. We have the West, the Central, and the East. We just got to do a little bit more to gather in. And with Beck Sports, which is a statewide broadcast network, I'm not sure if you're aware of that, and the state just loves it. We have all the high school sports and to bowling and Wishick. We'll bring it on, right? And to have that with the Bismarck Bucks and then just reaching out. The West region is our largest viewership. So it just made sense. Well, what else can we do together? Mm-hmm. That's important. And as small a state we are, we're still spread out geographically pretty far. But at the end of the day, we could all just do a little bit more together and be a little bit stronger. So it gave us an opportunity to come out here and visit with Pat and the city, and hopefully we'll be here for a long time to come.
And I'd like to throw in one other thing, too. And you guys both know that I'm a warrior on behalf of our youth and our community. But getting Beck over here, why those guys were over here, we were able to get them in front of our high school students, and we want to present leaders in front of our youth every opportunity we can. So we're grateful for that. But on this next set of contracts that we're talking about, you know, some of the things that we are working in include our youth.
We're looking to bring coaches clinics, and coaching is not, it's similar in every way. It's motivational. It's getting young people to do the right things at the right time, act together as a team. So it's not just football coaches. We'll have a football clinic up here for the coaches, and we're bringing a mini kids camp up here. We're only going to be here for 2 weeks, but we want to have the opportunity to actually bring a kids camp up here and execute on that at that same time too. So we, you know, they've welcomed us, and we want to be part of the community, and we'll see where it goes, and hopefully we'll have a nice 3-year run and continue it for a long, long time.
I'm just excited to hear the word 3-year contract. I mean, I haven't heard any word of contract since COVID started. I've been hearing, we need more workers. Let's see, how am I going to get this done? So this is great if contracts are starting to get signed. I'm talking about annual, you know, in the future type thing. That's fantastic.
And actually, contract might be the wrong word. A 3-year partnership, I think.
Yeah. Whatever it might be.
A lot better, because that truly is what it's been up here. Yeah. I mean, contracts, you know, are obligations, but this has truly been a partnership, and it's been a lot of fun. So if anybody's out there listening to this and you want to be part of it in the Watford area and be a sponsor and helping us get us up here, give Pat Burton Early a call or myself, and we'll just keep making it bigger and better.
I love it.
Well, what should we end on, guys? Let's see. Should we end on the cybersecurity or communications? Or how about just, I'll give you guys the final word, whatever you want to say. The floor is yours.
You know, for me, I'm just very grateful I had the opportunity to come back home and to have an organization like Beck Communications realize the importance of cybersecurity, not only for the residential customer, but for the 3,000-plus businesses that they serve. To bring that in, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, looking forward to grow it. So everybody out there, please take the time to protect yourselves. Businesses know what's going on, and make sure you get educated there. And more importantly, go Bucks. So if you want to see a game, go to bismarckbucks.com. There's some old games out there, and you can experience it live on a stream just for yourself, and then come on out to a game.
Love it.
And I'll just, I want to thank John and C, his wife, for coming over here to Watford City for our Rib Fest last night. And actually got to meet somebody from the Beck board last night. That was fantastic. So appreciate John coming over here. And then I just want to say thank you to you too, Jason. I know we have another interview up here after us, but I just really appreciate you, your friendship, for coming to Watford City and just taking an active role in our ambassador and just helping us to promote Watford City as a destination and just everything that you're doing to help us continue to grow. So,
and if you don't mind, Jason, Pat mentioned something important. We had our vice chair up here, Kevin Bernhardt, from our board. And he was absolutely blown away by Watford City, and he's excited to keep it going. So, Kevin, thank you for coming, too.
Yep. More to come, folks. More to come in Watford City. All right. Thanks, guys.